Donegal McGowan launched his presidential election campaign at the Firgrove Hotel in Mitchelstown last night. His emphasis is on the president's role as guardian of the Constitution, which he says is a major focus of his vision for the office. He's now setting out on a six-month tour of all 26 counties beginning next month. He joins me on the line this morning. Donegal, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me on.
It's our pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on with us. I know you're from Knockainey in Limerick. We won't hold that against you, but just wondering, could we find out a bit more about your background and maybe what led to you deciding to run?
Yeah, well, many of your listeners would be from the sort of Emly Latin area. I taught in the school and hospital just across the border from you. So I'm very, very, very many Tipperary friends, and we've great rivalry, of course, on the hurling team.
Of course.
But my own background with regard to this, I've been, I suppose I had a particular, for about 15 years, since about 2007, I suppose, I was involved in a major study on the Book of Kells. I finished a doctorate there in about 2016 and published a book subsequently. And I encountered enormous obstacles in doing that. And but I didn't want to let any of that sort of get in the way of finishing my study project and publication of the book. But I always sort of felt, you know, there are issues here that I'd like to return to. And over the last couple of years, I've been looking at ways of trying to address that. And in particular, what I found was that the obstacles that were placed in front of me were largely in conflict with our Constitution. And I found that particularly difficult to accept. Mm. And as I began to look more into just how our Constitution is functioning, there were just even very, very recently, there were a few very prominent instances. It took a young student from University of Limerick, recent graduate, to get an amendment that was passed in 1979. And this was an amendment relating to the Shannon elections. That was passed by myself and all the people of Ireland in 1979. Nobody did anything about it for about 40 years until this recent graduate took a case to the Supreme Court and won his case. Now, the most recent Shannon elections were under the old system, but the new system will allow for all degree holders from all colleges in Ireland to vote in the university panel for the Shannon elections. Previously, there were only three senators elected by the National University of Ireland and three elected by Trinity College. And that was that's been the way since the foundation of the Constitution. But now, in the next Shannon election, through the efforts of this young graduate, Tomás Heenahan was his name, since 2023, he has, if you like, forced the Supreme Court to accept the constitutional change that should take place, which is that all university graduates should be allowed to take place, as indeed the people of Ireland voted over 40 years ago. So issues like that. There's another issue in the just in the last few weeks. Then Independent Senator Gerard Crockwell is taking a case again to the Supreme Court with regard to a deal, some kind of secret deal that the government of the day made with authorities in Britain with regard to, I think, the possibility of RAF flying over Irish airspace in the possibility of some kind of terrorist attack. This was, I think, largely following the 9/11, fear that took over the world at that time. And of course, an agreement like that would be perfectly acceptable and understandable. But what Senator Crockwell's point is that the Constitution states very, very clearly that any such agreement must be presented to the Dáil. It can't be done as a kind of a secret side deal. So in recent weeks, the state tried to prevent Senator Crockwell taking his case to the Supreme Court, but the Court of Appeal allowed him, and he'll be proceeding to the Supreme Court with his, you know, constitutional claim with regard to that deal that was done. So I'm not quite sure when that might be scheduled for the Supreme Court, but certainly he has been granted leave to continue with that.
So going by those two examples, then, it looks like the protection of the Constitution is one of your priorities. Why then do you feel the office of the President is where you need to be going, as opposed to maybe coming in at a lower, maybe council level or at a Dáil level?
Absolute, very, very good question. Absolutely. For the most part, I mean, you could look again, when you think of even, you know, TDs, ministers, they're preoccupied, really. Their main focus is on their constituency work, issues relating to constituents and their local areas. And then the other main area would be that their legislative work in the Dáil and responding to the issues of the day, you know, whether it is tariffs from America or whatever the issues might be, housing and health crises and so on. You're just trying to manage from day to day. So more abstract issues like dealing with the Constitution really get sidelined to a large extent, and don't, you know, take up really TD ministers. They don't have much time, if you like, to devote to, as I said, the more abstract theoretical constitutional issues. So even if you look at the referendums there from last year, on the family and care, and ultimately they really weren't properly thought through. And the sovereign people of the nation, the people of Ireland, said no, no, even though all the political parties were encouraging them to vote yes, yes. The people read these two referenda and basically said no. Of course, maybe these issues need to be improved and changed as time goes on and as society changes. But they didn't accept the wording of those two referenda. And I think basically, again, because really the time and effort required isn't being put into them. So getting back to your question about why the president, well, the president has very, very little executive power. You know, the president, the role of the president is not going to do anything about waiting lists in hospitals or price of houses or health or education, any of the issues that people are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. But the very, very first, the very first thing that the president says on taking office is, I'm just reading it here from the Constitution, I do solemnly and sincerely promise and declare that I will maintain the Constitution of Ireland. So they're actually the very, very first words uttered by the President.
And can I ask, do you feel that the Constitution has been adequately protected and upheld by previous presidents?
Well, you see, my take on it is, if you like, a new... I'm trying to extend and deepen that promise by the president. Previous presidents would certainly have protected the Constitution, and I think even our wonderful President Michael D. Higgins has done this on a couple of occasions. There is one of the very, very few executive powers that the president has is that he can take a Dáil bill, which he has to sign, and if he's not 100% convinced that this is, you know, in line with the Constitution, he's not only that something that he feels, but I mean, he's obliged. Then I think, in conjunction with the Council of State, it's not something he would just do off his own, just whim or anything like that. But I mean, this would be taken in consideration with legal counsel and the Council of State. Then he can refer any particular piece of legislation before signing it to the Supreme Court again. They are the ultimate arbiters in these issues. He sends it to the Supreme Court. If the Supreme Court says, well, this is not in line with our Constitution, this is not compatible, then he won't sign it. It'll be maybe sent back to the Dáil and they'll,
And that has rarely happened. And some would argue because the role of the president or previous presidents have always been aligned politically in some way. Do you feel that this would give you an advantage, the fact that you are not politically aligned?
I suppose being an independent would indeed, certainly. But I don't think that has really been an issue. I suppose the most famous one was the resignation of, was it Carúl O'Dolly?
Yeah.
And Minister Donegan and so on, because he was referring a bill to the Supreme Court and the minister then came out saying he was a thundering disgrace for doing that. And the government didn't really support the president, and he was left with no option. So that was an instance, if you like, of the political. In that instance, was a government from the other side. But I think most of our presidents have been pretty wonderful people and served the nation well. So I don't think they'd be following just party lines in that sense. I don't think I'd be critical of any president sort of saying they're not going to refer something because they belong to this party or that party. So I wouldn't really see my independence in that sense as a kind of a huge advantage. I think we've been very, very well served by the people who've held the office. But I think one of the things that I'd like to, that I would hope I would do in taking on the campaign that I'm doing is maybe even inspire people that you don't have to be a member of a political party. If you feel strongly about something, maybe you can find a way of bringing attention to an issue and, taking the time. I'm not a member of a party, so I don't have that backing. I don't have a lot of money, and I'm not looking for it. I'm really trying to do this as a kind of an exercise in do-it-yourself democracy, a sort of shoestring budget, and just, and in a way, maybe give an example that you can do that. You don't just have to accept everything that is dictated at you. And also in a time when, really, as we look around the world now, I mean, democracy is under serious threat from all sorts of elites, very powerful elites in various parts of the world. And that's a very, very frightening scenario to sort of look at the world in that way. I mean, democracy we should cherish, where every citizen has it is the citizens of the who are sovereign, not the establishment, not the political and powerful elites. I suppose I'm trying to, I'd like my campaign to reflect that possibility as well.
Yeah, and I know that that's a very noble stance to take, but does it put you at a disadvantage when I know nobody has officially announced that they will run yet, but if you look at who's being spoken about, Fine Gael, possibly Francis Fitzgerald, Mairead McGuinness, Sean Kelly, you've Bertie Ahern possibly running for Fianna Fáil, then you've Conor McGregor. Have you fears that the likes of you, who's absolutely, your beliefs and the reasons why you're running are very noble and very sincere. Are you afraid that you'll get swallowed up by the media and, the coverage of these very high profile figures who possibly will run against you?
Absolutely. And I mean, it would be very disappointing if there weren't some very talented and high profile people. You mentioned a lot of them there. Many of them would make wonderful presidents. I mean, I would say, am I afraid of disappearing against all those powerful candidates? Absolutely not in the least bit. The only fear that I had in relation to any of this was that I would be afraid of fear itself. Mm. That my only failure. I mean, if I I've every ambition of taking this all the way. It's going to be without all the resources of, the publicity machine. That's going to be a very, very hard slog. But I do have the time, and that is why I'm beginning very, very early, because I'm going to try and get around the entire 26 counties. And but the only failure for me would be not to try.
Mm-hmm.
So that's whether I get 2 votes, 200,000 votes, or 2 million votes. Yeah. That will be decided by the people who are sovereign. They'll vote for whoever they consider the best, and they usually make very, very good choices. And so, as I said, you know, it's not, will I only run in this if I'm kind of guaranteed to do really well? Absolutely not. As I said, the only failure for me would be not to try.
And to do that, though, there's a pretty tough slog ahead of you, because you will need the support of 4 local authorities. Are you confident of getting those?
I think so. All I can do is look at previous elections and how that has gone for people. And I think even, was it in the last one or the second last one, that I think Dana Rosemary Scallon had... she was struggling to find a fourth. I think she had 3, and she was struggling a little bit to find the fourth to get on the ballot paper. And I think it may have been Offaly County Council came in at the end and sort of said, look, in the interest of democracy, this woman wants to run in the presidential election. Let us give her the democratic opportunity to do that. So that's all I can go on, really. I mean, what I'm doing is, to a large extent, unprecedented. There aren't too many sort of examples to look back on and say, oh, well, I'm just going to follow what somebody else did. But I think the issue that I'm placing there, you know, one that is so core and critical to our democracy, I think I would be hopeful that I will find 4 local authorities who would support a candidate who wants to raise issues to very, very core issues of our democracy. So just on that basis, but I mean, I can't guarantee that. I can't predict what councils will do or how they'll vote. But that would be my hope. And it's unlikely. The other alternative would be to try and get the nomination of 20 TDs or senators. Yeah. And that's usually the one.
It's
for
a tougher prospect,
people.
Yeah.
So, but that would be a tougher prospect. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Can I ask you? Sorry, Dr. McGowan. Can I ask you as well about AIM2? They have submitted a bill to allow Northern Irish citizens to vote in the presidential election in the Republic. Is that something you would be in favour of?
That's interesting. I haven't. Is that just very recently?
It is. Yeah, just in the last day or so.
Okay, no, well, because I was kind of preoccupied just getting ready for my lunch last night. Now, I've actually just missed that one. But it sounds like a very, very interesting proposal. And I mean, as far as I understand it, since we've had the wonderful peace negotiated in Northern Ireland, I think citizens are entitled to they can either hold a British or an Irish passport, if I'm not mistaken. So I suppose if you can do that, it's a kind of a perhaps not a huge leap then to say, well, that you could vote in. Has he limited that proposal, or AIM2 limited that proposal to just the presidential election?
The presidential election, yeah, that's right.
Okay, that's interesting. Interesting. And I mean, there have been wonderful cross-border initiatives, if you like, going back to Mary Robinson's time. She crossed the border. She took a brave step against the kind of wishes of the government of the day to attend a function in Belfast, I think, to shake hands with Gerry Adams. And, you know, that was a very important, at a time when nobody was really talking to anybody in Sinn Féin. You could recollect then Mary McAleese's wonderful visit to Omagh in the aftermath of the awful bombing there. And, you know, it's outside her constituency, if you like, but I mean, as President of Ireland, representing the people, to cross the border and, bear witness. And
I am delighted to be joined now by former Tipperary minor hurler Seamus Callan, ahead of the 2024 Electric Ireland.
Apologies. It's gone now. Sorry, Dr. McGowan. It's just a bleed from another studio. Apologies. Could I just end with a question then? I know you launched your campaign in the Fairgrove Hotel in Mitchelstown last night. How did that go?
Oh, very, very well. Now, there wasn't a huge attendance, but I had great support from family and friends, and the team of people that are helping me with my campaign. And it went very well in that sense. I was trying to find a location that would be, if you like, close to a number of borders.
Yeah.
Mitchelstown is just across the border from Tipperary. It's only up the road from me here in County Limerick. It's in County Cork, and it's not far from Waterford. So yeah. That was kind of a part of my strategy, if you like, in holding the launch there. So speech that I made, I don't know, whatever, 12, 15 minutes or whatever, just setting out my campaign. And so that was videoed. I have a very, very good on the campaign team. I have a brilliant photographer who also does lots of media and web design, and who's material like that will make its way onto my website. I don't have a budget for posters and flyers, and mine will be a more environmentally friendly one by necessity, I suppose. Mm. So it'll be digital. It'll be, I'll have a website accessible through a QR code. I will be doing, social media posts and things like that as I travel around.
Yeah, well, some people say Obama won the election doing that, Dr. McGowan, so it's certainly possible.
Well, I don't know if I'd be comparing myself to somebody as such a high achiever as Barack Obama.
I'm not sure. Well, just to give you, because I'm just running out of time, but before I let you go, a listener has said, I like this man. He sounds like an honourable man with good ethics, educated and well-spoken, with clarity and flow of conversation. He'd be ideal as a no political attachment and therefore a perceived neutrality with no bias or political baggage. Best option so far, in my opinion. So you've Brian's vote anyway so far, Dr. McGowan.
That's what I'm. That's the message I'm trying to get out there. And thank you, Brian. That's encouraging. Absolutely.
Great, Dr. McGowan. Lovely to talk to you this morning. We wish you all the best with your campaign.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tip FM's Tip Today.